Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I wasn't expecting this class. We'll try to speak a few words about Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra, of course, as we all know, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna expands himself into innumerable forms. Rama di murti shukalaniya mena tishthan nana avatar makarod priyamasti yeto. So he has expanded himself into innumerable forms, like the original candle expands into so many other candles. And each particular expansion has a particular purpose, a particular mission, a particular mood, and a ambience in which he appears and exists also eternally in the spiritual world. The scriptures declare the definition of Bhagavan or the Supreme Lord: Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya sriya jnanam vairagyayoschaiva sannam bhaga itingana. Bhaga means opulences. Bhagavan means one who possesses all opulences in completion or in perfection. As we have heard Srila Prabhupada explaining many times in his teachings, that ordinary living entities, be they human beings or be they demigods, may exhibit very fragmental portions of Lord Krishna's potency, which they are endowed with by his grace. But the Supreme Lord, he manifests all these potencies unlimitedly. And when he descends into this material world, he may manifest only as much as is necessary for the performance of his pastimes, for the achievement or accomplishment of the purposes for which he has descended, and also for his own inconceivable reasons. So we cannot judge the power of the Lord, for example, by judging that he built a bridge across the sea. What is that power compared to the power of God? What Lord Ramachandra displayed was a very infinitesimally fragmental, tiny, insignificant portion of his power. But because it is so extraordinary by human standards, or by the standards of the material world, it is glorified. The Lord performs these activities to remind those who are faithless and to strengthen the faith of the faithful that he does come to the material world and performs pastimes as a human being, looking like a human being. Manusham deham ashritaha. Apparently it appears that he is a human being. And that indeed is the sweetness of his pastimes, when he appears to act just like any other ordinary human being. But time to time, he displays or exhibits some extraordinary power or some opulence, which reminds everyone then that yes, he is not an ordinary or even an extraordinary human being. He is directly the Supreme Lord. The first opulence that is mentioned by Parashar Muni in this verse is Aishwarya, opulence or wealth. What was the wealth of Lord Ramachandra? What was the wealth that he inherited from his father, Maharaj Dasharath? There are numerous references, and time does not permit us to go into each of the opulences with many details, but we will try to just mention one or two examples of each. As far as opulence is concerned, we can get an indication from the way Dasharath Maharaj organized the Putrakama Yajna and other sacrifices, and a whole city was created. And this city had all kinds of housing for innumerable visitors. There were Brahmins, there were priests, the Vaishyas, the Shudras, there were the Kshatriyas who came from different parts of the globe, and they were all accommodated very suitably and comfortably. Just imagine for a function, we have to set up a whole city that provides to all the needs of all the hundreds of thousands of visitors who come, and they have to be looked after. Our devotees here in Radha Gopinath Mandir have some experience of organizing festivals where they have to manage with limited space, and people have to be accommodated, they have to be received, they have to be taken care of. It's not easy. But Maharaj Dasharatha's opulence was extraordinary, and Ram inherited this opulence. He had unlimited wealth. And even as he was leaving for the forest, he wanted to give away so many things. That is why his other quality of Vairagya comes out. That when you don't have anything, materially speaking, and you give it up, it's not considered such a big achievement. But when you have a lot, and then you give it up, then the renunciation is very significant. It's noteworthy. So Lord Ramachandra's second opulence of renunciation is also amply demonstrated in the way that he renounced his kingdom, his wealth, his comfortable living conditions in the palace, his loving subjects. It is unheard of in this age of Kali to find a leader who is so much loved by his subjects as Lord Ram was. In fact, when Kaikeyi was discussing with him, or rather when Lord Ram prepared to leave, and all the citizens of Ayodhya said, "We will come with you, and let Kaikeyi stay here with Bharat and rule an empty Ayodhya, and we will build another new Ayodhya elsewhere. We will go with you. Wherever you are, that is Ayodhya." That kind of love, affection, regard the citizens had for Lord Ram. But he gave it up. He went away, lived a life that was extraordinarily austere. We cannot even imagine what living in the forest is like. We may have some kind of a romantic notion about forest living, but what it really means is very difficult to imagine. There are thorns everywhere. You have to walk bare feet. There are innumerable dangers at every step. There were different kinds of rakshasas and rakshasis who came. Very hostile weather conditions. There are snakes and dangerous animals that come. No comfortable dwelling place. The elements of nature are very harsh. The rains, the heat, the cold. And for one having lived in comfortable palace life, now to be living here like this is something very, very significant. So Lord Ramachandra gave up all that. And he went into the forest. And he went for the sake of upholding dharma. So jnanam, the third opulence. Jnanam means knowledge. But this knowledge doesn't refer to simply mundane secular knowledge. This jnanam refers to dharmic knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And as we all know from Bhagavad Gita, that jnana, unless realized, is not considered fully jnana. So Lord Ramachandra's jnana was fully realized. He practiced the principles of dharma. He lived according to them. And therefore, in his upholding the principles of dharma and virtue, he demonstrates his level of realized knowledge and understanding. He was unmoved by the unlimited entreaties, pleas of so many of his citizens, and even the Kula Guru, Vasishtha Muni, begged, literally, "Please stay." Many other rishis came and tried to persuade him with different arguments, but Lord Ramachandra was not moved. He stuck firmly and resolutely to the path of dharma. He said, I must follow the principles of dharma. Kingdoms will come and go. And all this that is being said may be true, may not be true. It is rationalization. But I have to follow the path of dharma. And as a leader, it was also his duty to instruct his citizens in the path of dharma, in the path of dharma, and also everybody else. Just as we hear from the story of Maharaj Rishabhdev, of how he instructed his sons. So the praja are like the children of the king. That's what the shastras say. It is said in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Martyavatarastviha Martyashikshanam Raksho Vadhayiva Na Kevalam Vibho. The residents of Jambudvip are praying, glorifying Lord Ramachandra. And they say, Martya Avataraha Tviha Martya Shikshanam. So the Supreme Lord Sri Ram has descended into this Martya Loka, this earth planet, which is the planet where everybody faces death. It's a planet of death. Martya Shikshanam, for the sake of giving shiksha or instruction or knowledge to those who are living in this Martya Loka, which is, they are called Martyas. So those who live in the planet of death are Martya. They are destined for death. So Lord Ram has descended to this material world and specifically to this earth planet to give instruction, to teach knowledge. Raksho vadhayeva na kevalam vibho. So this vibho, this supreme lord, has not come simply to kill the rakshasa, meaning Ravana. He has not come simply for just destroying the miscreants, but he has come to give good instructions according to the principles of dharma. Lord Ramachandra gave many, many good instructions at many times in the Ramayana, and there are numerous wonderful pastimes, very nice instructions he has given, worthy of being heard and followed. Viryasya, his bravery, his next characteristic. Who can be brave like Lord Ram? When he was only 16 years old, Vishwamitra Muni came and he begged, or he requested Dasharath Maharaj for Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman to accompany him, because the asuras and the rakshasas were causing a lot of disturbance to the brahmanas. As Vasishtha Muni pointed out later to Maharaj Dasharath, when Maharaj Dasharath was in great agony and in a great dilemma about what to do, because he was torn between his intense affection for his sons, particularly Ram, and the performance of his dharma as a kshatriya towards a brahmana and a sage, partly mixed with the fear of what would happen if Vishwamitra was displeased. And Vasishtha Muni told him that actually speaking, Vishwamitra Muni is powerful enough to protect himself. His brahma tej is sufficiently strong, but it is not the work of a brahmana. Therefore, he is requesting for your son Ram to come. And what's more, your son is also perfectly capable of protecting himself and doing the needful for this mission. This is a divine arrangement for the glorification of Lord Ramachandra. So with a heavy heart, somehow or other, Dasharath Maharaj relieved Ram and Lakshman, and they went ahead with Vishwamitra Muni. And at every step they encountered terrible demons and rakshasas, and effortlessly they killed all of them. Each of them is a story or a pastime in itself. Subahu, Maricha, and so many others. And Maricha was shot by an arrow, but he wasn't killed. He was dispatched far away into the ocean. I think it was 800 yojanas or something like that. And he fell into the ocean. And from then on, he never forgot that. There is a saying in English, you put the fear of God in someone. Never was it truer than in the case of Maricha. He was terrified when Ravan approached Maricha with his evil plan of abducting Sita Devi, the goddess of fortune. Maricha immediately was horrified. He said, "What are you saying?" He said, "I have not been able to sleep since that night. I have nightmares. You do not know what Lord Ram's prowess is." And he went on speaking like that. And Ravana gave him only two choices. Either you die at my hand, or you die at Ram's hands. So Marich, having been sobered by the blow of Lord Ram earlier, and understanding the virtue of Lord Ram, and understanding also the lack of virtue of Ravan, decided he would prefer to die at the hands of Lord Ram. So Lord Ram, as he went ahead at Janasthan in Dandakaranya, he killed 14,000 demons in just 2 hours, all alone, standing there resolute like a rock. He told Lakshman, "Please take Sita Devi inside in a secure place, and I will deal with these asuras who have come here." And single-handedly, working his bow faster than the wind, he decimated the entire crowd of 14,000 Rakshasas in the short span of 2 hours. And Shurpanakha, who was the sister of Ravan, she heard about this. She was present nearby because it was at her behest that they came. She ran back to Ravana, and that's how the whole story then began. And Ravana started sending others, and eventually Ravana hatched his plot to kidnap Sita Devi. So on numerous occasions like this, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated his power, his bravery, his physical strength even. Yasha, fame. Lord Ram was famous throughout, everywhere. And as his pastimes unfolded, he was more and more famous. Many times people ask that was Krishna's name chanted before Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago? Because he didn't appear, he wasn't there at that time. So how was Krishna's name chanted before? Or before Lord Ram appeared, for example, was his name chanted? The answer is that yes, certainly. Because the appearances of the Lord take place according to a certain schedule which the Lord normally follows, although he is not obliged to. And the names of the Supreme Lord, as is the Supreme Lord, are all eternal. Therefore, when Lord Ram appeared, already he was famous. His fame, the Supreme Lord's fame in his different incarnations, is eternal. It's not created at a certain point in time and forgotten after a certain period of time, as it happens for worldly people who may exhibit some very great power or opulence. Many kings have come and gone in this world. Many other so-called great personalities have come and gone. But there was a beginning in time to their fame. And there was also a limited time for which people remembered them. But Lord Ram's fame has been eternal. In fact, when Valmiki Muni was blessed by Brahmaji to compose the Ramayana, he was specially blessed that everything you say will be true. This benediction I give you, this empowerment I give you, and whatever you say about Lord Ram, your Ramayana will remain extant, will remain existing and popular on this earth as long as the sun and moon exist, as long as the hills and the mountains and the rivers and the seas exist. In other words, till the end of creation. So Lord Ram's fame is eternally existing. In every creation, Lord Ram, as are the other avatars, always eternally famous. Shriyaha, his beauty. The whole cause of the problem actually was Shurpanakha. She was so attracted by the bodily beauty of Lord Ramachandra that she did not hesitate to approach him. But Lord Ramachandra said in jest that I am already married. So here my younger brother, he is not married. You can approach him, which she did. She was rebuffed by Lakshman. In fact, Lakshman cut off her nose and ears. She came back to capture Sita Devi. That was when actually Lakshman did that in her anger. And then it was she who fled to Ravana and got all kinds of Rakshasas to come and try to fight with Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Ram was passing through the Dandakaranya forest, many rishis, they were so attracted by his beauty that even though they were in male bodies, they were transcendently very advanced. So they were on the spiritual platform and they desired to serve the Lord in the Madhurya Ras. And obviously it was not possible because in this world they were in male bodies. So Lord Ramachandra gave them the benediction that when he appeared in Dwapar Yuga, then he would fulfill their desires. And many of these Dandakaranya sages appeared in Dwapar Yuga as the gopis. They were the Sadhana Siddha gopis who got trained under the Nitya Siddha gopis who had descended with Krishna from Goloka. And there were some others too. Even the ladies of Mithila, where Lord Ram was taken to by Vishwamitra and eventually it culminated in the marriage to Sita Devi, they were also very, very attracted to his beautiful form. And it is described that they also got a chance to be gopis in Vrindavan, in Dwapar Yuga. So Lord Ram's beauty is also exceptional, unlike that of any other human being. Vairagya Jnana, we have already discussed. So Lord Ram's opulences, his wealth, his bravery and power, his fame, his beauty, his knowledge and his renunciation are all incomparable. And therefore it is easy to understand that he is none other than the Supreme Lord. And Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, according to Rupa Goswami, are very, very special because they come in the human society and act in such endearing ways, such human-like ways, that increases the sweetness of the pastimes manifold. Today is the day of Lord Ramachandra's appearance, and we can reflect on his very, very important opulence also, the opulence of mercy. He always gives shelter to all his devotees, to all those who come for shelter. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the verse of the Valmiki Ramayana quoted by Mahaprabhu to demonstrate how the Supreme Lord is always merciful and willingly and easily gives shelter to those who come forward in that spirit. Sakrat eva prapanno yas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadamyeham vratam mama. He says that I take this vow, vratam mama. It is my vow that I will give dadami abhayam sarvada. Always I will give them fearlessness to those sakrat eva, even one time, prapanno yaha, who take shelter of me, tava asmi iti yachate, by saying, I am yours, my Lord. The Lord will never turn them away. He will always give them shelter. And this was spoken in connection to Vibhishan's coming to take shelter of Lord Ram. Everyone else was suspicious. They were thinking perhaps this is a plot hatched by Ravana. Because after all, Vibhishan was Ram's brother. I beg your pardon, Ravana's brother. And there was much discussion, animated discussion amongst the generals of the army of Lord Ram. But Lord Ram overruled them. which shows that the Lord's principle of mercy is supreme. It overrides all his other opulences. And Lord Ram demonstrated this again and again. And even in ordinary life, we know that a person on his birthday tends to be very generous, very happy and pleased. So today is his appearance day in this world. We can pray to him that he may kindly shower his causeless mercy upon us so that the anarthas from our heart may be removed. We may also lead the lives of exemplary devotees and human beings as he has shown by personal example, and ultimately that we can receive pure love of God and make our lives successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.